Hey everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode, what episode is it? Oh, God. 196 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Roasters. Connect Roasters, the coffee that supplies the Chicago Cubs. Okay. It's in the spring training facility. We're drinking every morning. We're drinking a little Nicaragua. We got a little Honduras. Ever had coffee from Honduras? Pretty good. It's pretty good, I'll tell you that. Compound 15 for 15% off site-wide. Go check it out. There's also a code for, it's Compound Club. Compound Club. I gotta make sure
that code. You're doing great.
Guys remember what the code is?
For your company? No, I do not remember.
I'm a little scattered today. And I'm like, let me tell you why. I'm a little scattered because we finished up working out today. Got off the field and was like, okay, I'm going to get a little work done. And then I looked at my phone. And I was like, oh my God, I have a Bruce Bolt photo shoot. And I had to scramble. I had to scramble to get there. And then I had to text you guys and be like, hey, my bad. We got to push this back. And then we were doing the photo shoot and I had to push back again. And I just walked in the door. Now we're recording a podcast. So that's a little bit on me.
The funniest part is we never even set a time for today. I set a time and no one said anything. And I was like, okay.
Bro, I'm convinced I answered and my phone just never sent it or never typed it out. Just never.
No, for sure, man.
Me and Tom at this time of the year and probably throughout the whole year, really, are usually just like, you tell us, bro. And you guys are not great sometimes at responding. So I'm like, I don't know when we're going, but Ian will respond and say like, does that work for everyone? I'm like, I've said three times, anytime.
I answer it in my head. I was talking to Fallon yesterday or today and I was like, yeah, we're potting at, 6 o'clock tonight, like all good, whatever. And then when I went back and saw it this morning, I was like, I mean, I just never responded. I was like,
I kind of figured we would just figure it out. But then Ian's we go seven? Like, thank you guys for understanding. I'm like, we never even had a time, man. Like, seven's totally fine. But then when you push it the second time, that's when I was pissed.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
he texted me offline. And he was like, this is getting fucking ridiculous.
Here's the two codes, okay? ConnectRoasters.com, Compound Club for 25% off your first Home Run Club shipment. The shipment that comes every month right to your door.
What's the code?
Compound Club.
Okay.
Compound Club.
He didn't say it. He said, here's the codes, and then said for 50% off Compound Club. And he didn't say
No. Get it right. Compound Club, 25% off your first Home Run Club shipment. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Compound 15, if you want 15% off site wide, you want to try it? You want to get a bag? You want to see how it is? Compound 15. Do you want to chip to your door every month? You want it to be easy? Compound Club, 25% off your first order. All right.
What if I'm close friends with a investor in the company? Do I get it for free?
Absolutely not. But you can use code Compound Club if you want 25% off your first order. ConnectRoasters.com.
And back to your, you being discombobulated. There's not much of a worse feeling than like realizing you're either late for something or completely forgot about something. Like, especially when it's pretty important. Like Dakota's going to somehow argue, but I take pride in being on time if I have to be somewhere or like knowing if I need to do something. And
why would I argue that?
Because you'd say something like, oh, no way.
No, you're never late, but you are scatterbrained. Like you forget things, but you're never late. I would never say you're not late, but you are scatterbrained.
But like if that does happen ever, that is one of the most like hopeless feelings. And you're just like, oh my God, I just completely forgot about doing something that I said I was going to do. Like somebody relied on me to do something. You're just like, you're sitting there in the moment. You take like 10 seconds, you're like, how am I going to spin this? What is going on?
I'm shocked it happened to Ian, because Ian strikes me as someone that has both the calendar in his phone and like a handheld on paper calendar. Like, he strikes me as someone that has everything mapped out in his life.
What happened was, we were supposed to do the shoot in Austin, and then we rescheduled the shoot for Arizona. I didn't transfer it over and transfer new date over. Okay. And that's on me.
That's
on
fair. Me. But it happens.
I take responsibility.
Hey, but again, if you're pretty, you know, like set in stone, like you get a pass here and there.
You're still, like, still again,
no, 100, it's all good. But like, again, you know, if it's a recurring thing that's like, hey, this is kind of a pattern. We're seeing something here.
Can't do that.
I would rather you push us back an hour than miss your photo shoot.
100%.
Well, I appreciate that. A little more important.
I can I tell you something that I'm not happy about?
Mm-hmm.
Every time we get on once a week, I get excited now, and I'm like, Dakota's going to be out west. Dakota's going to be in a new place. And then you get on this thing, and I see the same posters behind you, and you're still in Michigan. When are we going to Seattle?
Well, the living situation proved harder than I originally had planned to figure out, but I have it figured out now. I move into my place March 1st.
You got a place.
My first day is March 4th.
Fired up.
So I will start March 4th for sure. Guaranteed, locked and loaded.
When's the drive start?
TBD. I haven't decided yet if I want to. So I'm going to do like 10 plus hours a day. It's 32 hours. So the first day will get me to like the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. The second day gets me to the west side of Montana, which is kind of close to Glacier National Park and Yellowstone. So I haven't decided yet if I want to build in a day to go check those places or one of those places out, only one, because they're like 4 hours away from each other. But I might build in a day for that, but that's a whole nother hotel. So we'll see. TBD, probably like a few days before.
Can I propose an idea?
Yeah.
Tom, you fly to Michigan, okay? You get in the car with Dakota. You just record Dakota for the entire drive, live streaming on the compound, okay? Let's get the people fired up for this drive.
Can I be honest?
Who says no?
That sounds way worse than just driving myself by trying to make it like a big thing when it's already going to be hell. No offense to Tom. It could be anybody in the car.
I'm taking that as a ricochet shot. That's got to be at least a ricochet shot that I'm worse than nobody.
But this is going to be another one that Ian's going to take offense to. I prefer drives by myself always. I think they're way better because I can listen to whatever I want. I can stop whenever I want. I can do whatever. Like, I hate having to be like, hey, are you hungry? Like, do you got to go to the bathroom? Like, what do you want to listen to? Like, is this podcast okay? And I'm like, I'd rather just have my own control, chilling. Hey, I can call people on the.
Those thoughts, though, sometimes when you're deep in those car rides, you're just like,
oh, they get crazy.
I am not myself right now, bro.
Oh, it gets weird. It gets weird.
Yeah.
Dakota, but I don't. You're not drive. Saying.
No.
Here we go. Yeah.
You're not saying.
I'm not saying anything.
You're not saying that.
I heard it.
That we
I heard it.
Isn't your favorite drive that you've ever had, right?
It is my favorite drive I've ever had of that length. Yes.
It's my favorite drive. How many times have you done that drive of that length, Dakota?
Once.
Okay.
just the once.
Oh.
When you make this drive, you let me know if this one's better than our drive. Because
the only plus is that we were able to trade off driving, which was nice. Not the only plus. There's other pluses. The company was great. We had a good time.
I heard the only plus.
That's all right, man.
But Zach, you know what I'm saying in that.
No, I don't.
Having control over everything. Would you rather? I can't even say your fiance because that's you'd be in a.
Well, no, because I was just gonna say.
You have to say her.
Yeah, but I'm saying like.
Would you rather drive?
We drove home from Detroit this year, and we would get food or whatever. I'm like, all right, like, you know, make sure let's go to the bathroom. Let's do it. And like, you're on the road an hour later, she just looks at you slowly like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
What the fuck, dude.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just nice having sole control over everything. That's the only good part.
Dakota, what's the longest drive you've done by yourself?
Myrtle Beach to East Lansing, I think was like 12 or 13.
As someone who's done the 4-day, 32-hour drive, let me just say, because I did that from Normal, Illinois, all the way to Bellingham, Washington, which is basically as far north in Washington State as you can go. I would have liked some company. If I could do it again, at a certain point on like day three, day three is the toughest day because you still got a whole nother day to go. And really, you're just in it. I almost died on day two. I had their tornadoes came in. I had to go 100 miles an hour up this back highway. It was an adventure. So I'm just saying to you, I think you're eschewing the other people. And now, honestly, both Ian and I are insulted. So I think, I don't know if the segment worked out the way you wanted it to, because I didn't want it to work out anyway.
I'm saying I realized that probably the end of day one, even when I get to the hotel, I'll be like, well, I got to do that all over again tomorrow. And then again, the next day, it's going to be like, this sucks. But that's why I might break it up after the second day.
I do think you should break it up. I might go see
Glacier National Park.
You got it. You're the best Dakota driver ever.
Dakota, a positive to driving, food calories when you're traveling doesn't count.
They don't count.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. If you think anything other than McDonald's, Burger King, any healthy food will not come near me. I will be a dump truck for 2 days.
I'm pretty sure when you order, they ask you like, hey, are you driving cross country? And it's like, yep. We got an empty calorie one, and it's just like, it's all good.
A pizza order will be placed ahead of time before I pull into my first hotel. That's a guarantee. It'll be waiting there, which is a little callback to me and Ian's trip, because we did that. Aw, special.
What'd you guys get?
I think it was Domino's.
But would you have done that by yourself? No. And you know what? No. Would you be doing that this time if you didn't travel with me? No. So you're welcome.
But also, very true. But also, I would have just flown home if you weren't driving there. But I was saving money by driving with you. I didn't have a car, so I had to ride with you.
Nobody was flying home at that time. It was terrifying.
Don't open up that whole can of worms.
Listen, okay? I want to talk about spring training.
But Ian,
seriously, can you
to
live
close stream, it up? We had a great
can you
time.
Live stream the drive.
I literally thought of I'll have to make some videos. I probably won't live stream because you'll just be looking at me sitting in a car. But I'll make some videos. But I don't
see how many people at one time are willing to just watch you drive across the
country.
They got to send a GoPro to Dakota and have you stick it in the corner of your car, and you could hear some deep thoughts and deep conversations with yourself.
There will be times where I'll get delirious and it's going to be crazy in that car. Like I'll be blasting music. Like who knows? Maybe I'll go silent for a little bit and really get into my thoughts, and then things are really dark.
I do think you should record the whole thing, because then you could make it the greatest 8-minute video ever out of it. I don't want all 32 hours, but you could make a really good 8-minute video.
If you edit it, I'll do it.
All right, I'll edit it.
You'll go through 32 hours of footage.
I know how to go through footage fast. You'd be surprised. Fast forward.
It's going to be 30 hours of me just sitting there miserable driving.
Exactly. So we only got to find the 2 hours for the content that's even good. Cut that down to 8 minutes.
That's true. That is fair. But yes, I'm cautiously looking forward to it. Ian, go ahead. Spring training. Zach hit a homer.
Can we talk about live at bats?
They're easy.
For Zach.
I mean, that thing was loud.
Zach, we don't want to make too much out of a live at bat homer.
We're not. This doesn't need to be
upset about it. We're not trying to upset you.
This doesn't need to be a segment.
It was loud.
Yeah, it was loud. It was great. Empty stadium sound. It was awesome.
Can I tell you my live at bat experience? So that
did you take five pitches?
Zach, shut up. What? Stop trying to brush over. It was sick.
It was cool. Yeah, it's a live BP.
Oh my god, are your ears all right? Could you hear that through the mic? Oh my gosh. One more time. Oh, sounds like you're in a cage. That sounds like you're indoors.
I showed the video to Liz, and she even said, damn, that's a sound. So people who don't even follow baseball understood that sound is not a sound that everyone makes. That's all I'm saying.
I've been going to sleep to that sound for a week now.
I got 347 likes on my tweet of it. Zach, you're welcome.
That's okay. For you. Ian, your turn.
That's for you.
Thanks. So I did live. I did live at bats Sunday and Monday.
Sunday. No swings.
Sunday. I took my first at bat. A lefty and a righty
throwing. Against
Wicks.
Ooh, gross.
Killian.
Oh, he's also very gross.
And so my first at bat, both sides, I just watched. Just watched pitches. A
couple of young guns. You didn't trust him?
I was just watching. Just getting my eyes back.
If Carl was up there, are you swinging?
What?
If Carl was pitching, would you take a swing? Would you feel a little more comfortable in there?
You know, no. I haven't had a lot of success against Carl in live VPs. Faced him a lot in 2020 in summer camp. Didn't have a lot of success. I probably wouldn't swing against Carl because, you know, you think it's going to be like doing something and then he does the other thing and then he confuses you and then I feel stupid.
That's what I don't want to interrupt your at bat story, but.
And that's Kyle Hendricks.
Yes. I was going to say, do you think he's the most comfortable, uncomfortable at bat in the big leagues? Bro. Like you go up there, you're like, this guy throws 86. Like there's no, like, how do I not get a hit?
The one thing you're like, wait a second. The thing that amazed me about facing him in summer camp that much, he throws a four seam that kind of has a little bit of cut to it. And that four always like stayed above my barrel and kind of like played tricks on me. So he would throw like 86 right past me. And I'd be like, whoa, what's happening?
I don't know if I've told this story in here, but I faced him in, I think either my first or second big league camp. Just had a live EP against him. And it was the first time I've seen him throw in person or like hit against him. And I remember like checking out of pitches, like early, like, dude, come on. And like you turn around and Caratini's catching and he catches it. It's a loud noise. Like, and he's like, yeah, that's there. And I'm like, timeout. How did that move that much that late at 88 miles an hour? And then like Ian, like you said, the four seam up, it's like, cause you're staying back. You're like, all right, wait for it. Just wait till the last possible second. And you're like, ooh, that's a four seam. And then by the time you swing, it's like, you have no chance.
Yeah. It's by you.
Yeah.
So I faced Wicks, I took, and then I faced Killian, and I was ready to swing, but I took the pull at bat, and then I faced Wicks again, went for my first hack.
What pitch?
I missed. Heater? Fastball. Fastball down below the zone, swung and I missed.
Doors? Like by you, or you just missed it?
No, it was just like a ball, and I just kind of like swung over. I think it was a cutter, but it kind of looked four-ish and I just swung over it. I fouled one off. Okay, fouled one off. Nice.
Nice.
I went three-two and I walked on a changeup. And then one more bat, left-handed against Killian. I fouled a ball off. Big success. Fouled a fastball off. And then he threw me a two-strike changeup and I hit it in play. I rolled over to second base. It was really great.
Atta baby.
I was like, in play.
Made what's in funny play. Is it's exactly what we talked about last week, and that for you, it's like, if you just put it in play, you're like, great job. I did it. I can still do it. I can put the ball in play off a live pitcher. It's possible.
Yeah, right now, that is a great success. And then I got to take live VP again yesterday, and I hit a line drive to center field, not that hard, off a fastball, left-handed, and I was like, okay. We're advancing forward. Yesterday? I got one in the air forward. That's a big deal.
Who'd you face yesterday?
Ben Brown.
I haven't seen him, but I heard he's disgusting.
Ben Brown throws hard. He's throwing like 97.
Yeah. I want you to face Imanaga. Is that how you say it?
Shota. Yeah.
Shota.
Yeah. I haven't seen him throw yet, but I do like him. He is funny.
Ooh, which brings me to something Zach sent the other day. Did you see the media at
bro
Yamamoto? Did you see the media at his live VP? There was like 2,000 people on like a side field at their spring training.
I heard that somebody that faced him in live VP, just like prospect or somebody that faced him, the whole Japanese media like surround him to ask him questions about like facing this dude. Like,
isn't that nuts?
He's really good.
When I worked at the Yankees, we had not just Tanaka's translator. They also had a specific media person that was hired for Tanaka that was part of the Yankees media department and that handled just all the Japanese requests, because there was a whole section of the Yankee Stadium press box, like the middle third, that was just Japanese media. And it was every single day they were there. And then on the Tanaka days, they would like triple. So they would get like two sections. They would double their one whole section. It was really incredible to see the kind of support that these guys get overseas internationally.
Do you get a little bit of that with Imanaga, Ian?
I mean, yeah, with Imanaga and Seiya.
Yeah.
We have two big high profile Japanese players. So we have a Japanese media group that's with us all the time. You know, I would say it's 10 deep, you know, some like early in spring training, maybe a little bit more, but yeah, I think the Shohei Yamamoto,
that's crazy to
follow
bro.
Both those guys in the same spot, and being a West Coast team, like they're going to have a pretty big.
Dude, speaking of big media, it's crazy how much different it is here than Detroit. Like Detroit, you would know all of, you know, the 5-10 people who kind of were there every day. And here it's like you have a good like 10 to 20, closer to 20 people in there every morning. And it's just like, this is a little different.
Is it like Chicago or is it crazier?
I was going to say the Cubs were kind of
Chicago was big 15. Because that, like when I was always, or when I was there, it was like right after, you know, you guys won. So it was like my first camp, whenever, even if I backed up, I would see the media and I'm like, that's fucking crazy. I don't really remember camp all that much. I think it's probably pretty similar. But like we have more like PR people than in Detroit, just because it's just more people and more stories and more everything. It's crazy how much different market, obviously, but like when you actually see it, it's pretty eye-opening.
They've been coming up to you saying, "Hey man, we saw that bomb."
Shut up.
Tell Frankie to watch out.
Thank you.
Woo! Where you been practicing, Zach? What positions? All over the infield?
All over, man. It's been fun, especially, you know, getting like getting to know coaches and then them kind of asking you what makes you tick as well, especially, you know, in the infield. And it's a brand new coaching staff for the most part, like infield wise. Mike Sarbaugh, he was in Cleveland forever. You know, and you kind of have the freedom to do what you like to do. And, you know, they ask you about it. You know, you ask them for some recommendations. But it's cool. It's great. Like Jose Iglesias is in camp and watching him take ground balls was pretty cool. You know, like I told him, I was like, dude, I've watched every single ground ball that you've taken in your whole career.
Did you say that and then say, now watch this? And then you went and did a rep and you're like, that's
no, awesome. Like we were actually chopping about just some, like I tend to stay a little bit lower in like my preset, especially at third base. And he, you know, he was asking me like, you know, do you always kind of start that low? And I was like, yeah, you know, I like to work from the ground up, like whatever. He goes, yeah, that's great, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, we were at breakfast yesterday. We were talking about Detroit a lot because he spent some pretty big years in Detroit, which was pretty cool. And a lot of the same staff was there over the years when I was there. And it was cool. Yeah. But it's cool to, you know, when watching Lindor kind of go about his business, which is, it's so incredible. And Ian, I remember you telling me this when I remember watching Javi in camp. I don't know if I said it to you or somebody else, but you specifically told me years ago, you were like, when you guys
took ground balls together.
Yes. But like when you guys would ever play Cleveland, it was like multiple people would go out there and make sure that they watch Lindor do his stuff. And it was just like, you know, Javi's great. Javi, like, obviously watching Javi do his thing is like insane, but they were just like, Lindor is just like a little different, just the way that he goes about, like, and just him at shortstop in general.
It's just so clean. Like, yes. His moves are so clean. His glove presentation, it just sits there, dude. It just sits there forever.
Yes.
And it's just like a vacuum, and his glove sits there and his feet move to the hop, and it's just everything about it is so clean. I remember watching him, this must have been like 18, and being like, damn, like,
yeah, bro,
that guy, the way that he moves to the ball, the way that his glove just kind of sits waiting for the hop. I was like,
and it's crazy when you can see real glove presentation, because Brian Butterfield was like the first one to really teach me that in my first two camps, where, you know, if you're behind the ball, like if your glove is behind the ball, barring, you know, a crazy hop, like it has nowhere to go but your glove. And like, that is like a principle that I wake up with every single day. It's like, hey, if you're going to go to the field, like if you're going to hit, you're going to start early. And if you're going to field, you're going to present your glove. Like those are the two things. And like, if I were to ever, you know, if I give lessons to kids or if I talk to kids about fielding, it's like glove presentation is like the biggest thing. And when you can see it at the highest level for the best shortstop, if, or, you know, top two defensive shortstops in baseball, like it's pretty special. And to watch him do it behind the scenes is even cooler, because he has a flat glove, which he loves to do every day. He'll take regular ground balls with it for a while. And I'm like, man, like you trust this half field a little bit better than I do, because I'm not doing that on this dirt right now. We can go to the turf and I'll do it, but
it's the like pancake one, right?
Where the pancake glove. Yeah. So like you have to catch it perfect every single time in order for it to, you know, to work and not hit you in the face.
Yeah. Have you been in the outfield at all or just all infield?
No, just infield. You know, hey, you need me to go in the grass, I'll go in the grass out there.
You can play. You can play out there.
I'll go in there.
And he hits homers. What do you got on the orange hats? They're really orange.
Yeah, they are orange. They're bright. I don't think I would have avoided it either here or Detroit. The Detroit ones are bright as well.
They might be more orange in Detroit.
Yeah. But it's cool to see them kind of embrace like the third color in other teams too. Like you guys, you know, you have the baby blue, like the Tigers only have the orange on the road. And the Mets, you know, they're blue and orange, but I don't know. I guess I haven't really thought about, I mean, they're just loud. They're anything orange or yellow is going to be loud, like a highlighter. I think that's the least of our worries with the old uniform aspects.
Good transition right there out of you.
We should get to the uniforms.
Yeah.
But before we get to the uniforms, I want to talk about Bruce Bolt. I had a photo shoot with Bruce Bolt today.
What'd you say?
Look at that guy. Look at that. That guy loves Bruce Bolt.
My bad.
How comfortable is that hat, though?
It's the best.
That hat's really nice. I have a black
one, too. Hang on.
It's got like rubber in the back where it clips is rubber, and then there's like perforation on it. It's really great.
My bad. Yep.
Wait a minute.
A couple of Bruce Bolt guys.
This shirt is Bruce Bolt. I got this today at the photo shoot. It's really great. It's really soft. BruceBolt.us. And if you need baseball pants for the start of the season, if you need to get outfitted, go to BruceBolt.us. They got shorties and they got regular pants. They got baseball shorts if you want to look like Hunter Pence. They got all kinds of pants. BruceBolt.us. Batting gloves that I use, batting gloves Zach uses, BruceBolt.us. We were a little early on the uniform train, talking about the uniforms. And last week, guys are getting to camp, a lot of pictures of the uniforms. The pants aren't terrible. They're making the pants out of the exact same material that they made the old pants out of. They have snaps in the back instead of buttons. Belt loops are a little different. But they're pretty much the same.
Are they comfy?
They're the same material.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. You can't customize them quite as much. But like I had to make some adjustments, but I think the pair that I will get will work pretty well. I don't love the snaps in the back, but hey, that's fine. The units, the jerseys. Some of those teams, numbers on the back, names on the back, don't look very good.
Little small.
Some are definitely worse than others. Like, I've seen some, and I'm like, I think that looks fine. Like, there's been a couple teams where I'm like, I think it looks fine. Like, I don't think it's that bad. But then there's some you see, and it's like, all right, that's noticeably different from what it used to be. So it really just kind of depends on which team. But people are full blown, like, up in arms over this.
Well, I mean, it looks like a half ass job. As Tom, like, again, the, like, did you see The MLB logo is like not centered at all. But yeah, like again, it's really small. Like the MLB logo is like offset on some jerseys. Like it's not in the middle of a stripe. It's just, again, I'm sure it's going to feel great. I'm sure, you know, just like everybody kind of complained about the pitch clock and everything, like change, you know, nobody likes change, but you know, I'm sure when it's August and you're not drenched in a heavy ass jersey, it's like, oh, this is great.
That's what I feel like halfway through the season, people are just going to be like, whatever.
I'm not even going to know if it fits right. I'm not even going to notice it. Cause I'm not really looking at my back ever. Tom might notice it. You know,
it's all about the name on the front. Oh boy.
That's it, man. I don't see that name anyway on the back.
I hope that, I know that we're going to play this year with them. I really do hope that next year they make a change and go back to the size of number or name on the back. What, Tom?
Wait, that's it? That they've just said next, see you next year?
I mean, Tom, they made all these jerseys. They're not going to, like, wash them. They're not going to, like...
It's Nike.
I'm not going to wash the jerseys?
Like, we're acting like it's Nike with a major league contract. This is the best they could do is 1 year delay?
I mean, you got to think about how many jerseys they've made to this point. Like, there's no way they're reversing course this year.
Do you think they did this?
But hold on. If my job is to bring you 100 ice cream sandwiches, and I show up with 88 of them melted through, and the bag is mostly just ice cream, and I got the two little, you know, brown, the black pieces, and I go, well, you know, the ice cream melted for most of them. You got like 12 that you can eat, and the other 88 maybe you can put back together. Would that be acceptable?
Tom, where did you see this analogy?
I'm sorry that they made a lot of bad, shitty jerseys, and I'm sorry that MLB gave them a shitty contract to known shitty place, Fanatics, but this is the deal. If you fuck up the jerseys, you got to fix them. What is this one-year delay problem? I don't understand that at all. The solution's 1 year down the line? I mean, Ian, did no one at MLB have eyes? Did no one at Fanatics have eyes? They didn't put the jerseys next to each other and go, huh? This one sucks. Maybe we should try again? Do we notice that the lettering is like half the size of the letters on the other one? I mean, I was like, all right, maybe we'll get through spring training and then they'll give us something better for the regular season. You're telling me the solution is a year down the line, maybe, if Fanatics, the worst company on goddamn green earth, like you talk about the worst places in the world, and I would rather go to any of them over fucking Fanatics. And you're telling me maybe in a year, if they get their shit together, which they've never done once, ever, maybe we get good jerseys. That's the solution? I mean, did you see the $170 jerseys they're charging for authentic? They have stuff steamed on. It used to be hand-stitched. It used to matter. Nothing matters anymore. Ah, fuck, man.
Tom, I love where you're at.
All right, Tom, now don't hold back on this take. Go.
I think we would be lucky if we're all happy and it's resolved next year. I think we would all be very lucky. Tom,
do you think they did it on purpose to like be different, just to like, just because it's a new company? Like they didn't want to come out with like the exact same like replica as an old company, right? Like, do you think it was kind of on purpose? Probably.
I mean, if that's the case, that's not a very smart business move.
But I'm thinking like I'm not saying like, I mean, they had to have said, we think these look good. Like, there's no way they did this. And they're like, these look horrible, but too late. But like, do you think they were like purposely were like, all right, we need to make it look a little different just because it's ours now?
But like they took over Majestic the last, what, 2 years, but like they followed in Majestic's like protocol for 2 years, right? They just slapped a Nike stitch on it. So like they knew how they did it and like how everybody liked it. So yeah, I think they probably had their technology like, all right, hey, these are a little bit lighter, these are this. But I agree, like if you just have the same nameplates and everything, that's fine. Fuck the jersey up. Like make it light, make it, you know, like where you can't really see a difference. But I can see where you're coming from. We're like, hey, we had to change something up. But like, what's the point of following the protocol then?
I don't know why they changed the size of the names or numbers. Tom, I will say they are still stitched.
I was specifically referring to the authentic jerseys that they're selling to fans for $170. I saw a Mariners.
Those are not stitched.
I saw a Mariners one that was screen printed. They were showing previous years ones where, you know, the Mariners logo is stitched on, all the logos are stitched on. What I've seen so far, and again, maybe they'll change it, but I don't have a lot of faith in Fanatics as a company that those have been screen printed now for $170, which is tough if you're going to buy, if you're going to go out and spend $170 of your money to purchase a product that's gotten inferior in a year.
So as a fan, you're saying if you are at a Yankees game and Juan Soto is your new favorite player, and it was a screen printed jersey for $175, you would say that's not for me.
I mean, to be fair to Major League Baseball and Fanatics, I don't think I was ever in the market for the $175 jersey because of my financial realities of my life. But I certainly am much less likely to buy any products now that they're with Fanatics. It really does feel like the fan experience over the last like decade, merchandise has gotten worse. Tickets have, I mean, I was looking at going to one Ranger game with Liz. The cheapest ticket to get in, and now I know the Rangers are good, Madison Square Garden, all that, is $150. We can't be doing that. And actually, that's probably the one thing baseball does well, is that it's still, you're able to get in for a relatively affordable price, but that's mostly because of the volume of games. And I'm worried about even where that's going in the future. But the tickets have gotten way more expensive. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad bought season tickets for the Hudson Valley Renegades. It was $760 for two tickets for 38 games. Parking pass, free soda at every game. That was $700 and something. Now that's like maybe two trips to Yankee Stadium if you got a family of four or five. It's just been out of control, and it doesn't really feel like the jerseys are just a microcosm of everything that's gone wrong with sporting culture here in America in the last decade. And it's exemplified when you – I mean, you could argue about so many different things, but you put those two jerseys side by side and you try to tell me the Nike one's better, no one's going to buy it. And that's just with eyes.
I can get behind that.
I think some are worse than others. But I don't want to go against Tom. He's in a rage right now. But I don't, I'm in the minority in this. I don't think they're that horrible. Like they don't, bro. I'm just like, they don't look nearly as good, but
the side by sides are insane, bro. And like,
yeah.
Dude, people are saying, like, if you're watching a spring training game or if, like, you're seeing a video, you literally can't read who it is.
Oh, yeah. Which is
like, stupid. That's insane.
That's because Nike's saying you play for the team on the front, not the name on the back. That's why.
Tom, can I ask you?
You know who's happy? Pete Crow Armstrong. His name will look less crazy on the back.
Tom, if this is a separate uniform question, if the Yankees, well, they're not getting a City Connect, right?
That was revealed this week that nine teams are getting them, and I believe the A's and Yankees are the only two teams not getting it. So good company for the Yankees.
That's who you want to be with.
Are you sad about that as a fan?
Yeah. I mean, as I said last week, I'm kind of glad we get to avoid the whole media cycle of the people complaining about the jerseys. That was inevitable, and maybe the Yankees just saw that and decided not to do it. But, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing that, you know, I think there's a lot of cool things they could have done with specifically the Bronx. You know, both my parents are from the Bronx. This is – the only major professional team in the Bronx, except for NYCFC, who, you know, only ground share at Yankee Stadium. So it's really been the Bronx's team. And I think you could have done something really cool to tie in with that. I'll be interested to see what the Mets do. I think they're going to play a lot into that Queens tradition. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. And I just feel like what Dakota said, where it's like, it's kind of the same, but worse, is just how a lot of things are in sports for fans the last decade. Yes. It's like, I bought a bunch of sports video games in the last 2 months. They're all the same, but worse. Why is everything getting the same, but worse? And why are we willing to accept that? Ticket prices are going up. Yeah, it's the same, but worse. The jerseys get worse. And we just go, in 2 years, Dakota's right. 2 years from now, people will probably forget about this. But it really bothers me that it seems like at the cost of bottom dollar, when these people are making so much money already, that they're willing to take away good products and getting the fan in there and just fucking them over for $10 more, it seems like, at a time. Because that's where we're at right now. And it's really – I've been spending a lot of the last, like, 2 weeks just thinking about it, because it really does bother me of, like, where are we going in sports? Like, you could get into the whole college sports thing with the NLI. That's a disaster. Like, everything in sports right now is changing, and it feels like none of it's for the better.
That is true. I'm with you on that.
It would have been really, really funny if the Yankees did the exact same jersey for their City Connect and just put like a patch on the sleeve. And they were like, this is our City Connect jersey. And it was just exactly the same.
As the Bronx, like right here. Connecting it back to the
Bronx. I'm with Ian. That would kind of just be hilarious. Like a real like middle finger to like, oh no, we broke from tradition. Here it is. It'd be kind of funny.
We'll get you right back to this week's episode of Compound, but first it's time to get in on the action with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers who deposit $5 or more can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 back in a bonus bet. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code COMPOUND. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 back if your first bet loses. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code COMPOUND. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no sweat bet per new customer, issued as one bonus bet based on the amount of the initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promo for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restriction terms and responsible gaming resources. All right, let's get you right back into this week's episode of The Compound.
Spring training games start this week.
Friday for you guys?
Friday.
Zach?
I think we're Saturday.
You know there? If you're playing.
It's the first game that big boys don't usually play.
I know. I'm saying I'm going to be at every game.
Oh, but you mean starting?
Oh,
yeah. But you don't know. Do you know what position? Yeah. Are you going to bounce around the infield? Or are you going
to? Yeah, I'm going to be all over the place.
Hitting homers.
I love it.
That would be great, dude.
Who do you guys play? Do you know?
I think Houston.
I heard they got Verlander going.
I saw he's hurt.
Oh, well, maybe not then.
Javier.
Whoops.
We got the White Sox opening day at Sloan Park.
Oh, Crosstown Showdown to start the year. That's a pride thing. I heard you're in there, eight.
I'm in
no
that.
Chance. No chance.
Sloan, opening day at Sloan? I'll miss an opening day at
Sloan. Oh, it's at Sloan. It's electric. Yeah, that's okay. If it was on the road, though, wouldn't find you near that bus. I remember my first big league spring thinking it was the coolest thing ever that like the big boys that were going on the road would drive their own car and not ride the bus. I'm like, that's so show. Like they're not hopping on a 2x2 bus. Like you're not going to sit on a bus.
Sometimes dude, drive your car. If you're going the opposite way of your house, get on that bus.
No, but I know, but I'm saying like, what? I just remember thinking that myself when I'd see like Schwarber hop in his car and drive to go play. And I'm like, that's so show.
Oh yeah.
Why would you ever take the bus?
But bro, last year we had to go where you would have to go past Lakeland. Like, I'm not driving that way to drive all the way back. Like, I'm going to drive there, stop there, get on the bus, and then go back.
Ian, Florida's also very different.
Florida's way different, bro.
Yeah.
Don't yell
but in Arizona, if you're driving 20 minutes down the road,
Sorry, Ian, that was a little bit loud. I'm sorry.
Would you ever take the bus in Arizona?
If I was in the same position I am now, no, I would drive. But I was on the bus every
whoops,
time.
Whoops. He said, well, I got
no, because
like
I
that.
Did. I wasn't
he said,
allowed
I got
to.
It like that. I got that.
I wasn't time. Allowed to. They
he
had,
said, I got that showtime. I ain't riding no bus.
AJ said, I think it was like you had bum. To have, I think you had to either have a year or a certain amount of time. And like last year was my first time that I could drive.
You said, I ain't no bum. I got the time.
And it's nice in Florida too. We're actually having this conversation the other day. Like in Arizona, everything happens pretty like quickly. Like you get there, hey, you know, you're gonna do your full workout still, you're gonna get on a bus and go or drive over. Like there's some days where like it's nice waking up at 9 o'clock and you can just go to it. Like if you live near the field or a like I lived in Tampa last year, like if we played the Yankees, I wouldn't go to the stadium. I would just go right to the Yankee stadium, wherever we're at, Steinbrenner Field, whatever it was, and it was like 5-minute drive. So I could wake up at
9:30 opposed to, you know, having a normal day still.
What's your favorite drill you've done so far? Is there a new drill that you've
done? That's a different
You got like a new thing that you've done. You're like, I really like that.
I've been doing a lot more off speed machine opposed to just heaters. It's making me really kind of weight back in a good way. And not kind of just go and fight for your life on heater machine. And there's also these, you know how they have like the light flight balls that really spin, but like are really, really light. They have these ones here. I meant to get them in the off season. I never did. They had like a different variation of the place I hit, but these ones, they're Marv balls and look the same, have stitches on them, but they're heavy like a baseball, but they're soft.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
They're great. They do spin like they're, even though they're a little bit heavier, they do spin a lot and stay like they're riding at the top of the zone.
We've used those. Yeah. I like them a lot. We also, you mentioned curveball machine on the field. We did a rotation today where we did lefty curveballs on field one, bunting on the half field, and then righty curveballs on field two. And so instead of just like taking an arm BP, like one group was taking lies, and then the other group of us was doing a hitting rotation and getting to hit curveball machine on the field. I was way into it. Way into it. I really enjoyed it.
We've had a way different schedule than I've ever seen in my life. So we have 8 o'clock cage opens, 9 o'clock meeting, and then you'll have like blue and orange, like basically not JV and varsity, but like JV and varsity. Like you'll have, you know, either
which one are you in?
I'm in JV right now. Like they're doing their defense and like team D stuff or like whatever the fundamental is while we're hitting on the field, and then you switch, but like the time slots are way different. And it's like, that's something again, like change is like, I don't like the schedule, but then like 2 or 3 days in, you're like, kind of don't hate how much time we have in between each thing. Like, this is kind of great. And they told us like, hey, just give us a few days. It's a little bit of a different schedule, but the way that it's set up is like, it gives you a little bit more time. Like if you want to go hit in between your like BP and before you do your team individual, or, you know, something else. But it's like, I don't want to say it's dead time, but it's more of like your time. You'll have like 30 minutes in between something. And it's kind of, it's grown on me a lot in 2 days.
Yeah. Zach, that is interesting. We're doing our stuff a little bit later. And we got, you know, we did photo day today. Photo day. Fun day. When's your photo day?
Thursday.
Photo day is a great day. You took a bunch of photos. We had a meeting.
Zach. Yes. Are you excited for March 21st?
March 21st.
It's when you make your return to Lakeland, Florida. I heard they have a tribute video ready for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I heard you already went in to the office and said, hey, lock me in for that day, starting it short. I'm playing all
night. Yeah, I'm not talking to any of those guys. It's going to be a big
I hope you face Foles so bad.
Maybe, I hope he doesn't hit me like my other friends do.
Well, friends, podcast hosts,
yeah, acquaintances.
We know each other. We knew each other back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's get the people their screen times. I might be a little high today. I don't know. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer. What?
Nothing.
Sloan's the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. The company is at the forefront of the green building movement and provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flushometers, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit sloan.com. Do you guys want to say screen times? You want to sit there?
Well, hey, I was waiting for you to ask. Hey, you always ask one of us first, and I was waiting for you to choose who you wanted to say it first.
We're not the one who missed our Bruce Bolt photo shoot today.
Listen, I didn't miss it.
We should have recorded yesterday based on Tom's screenshot. Mine too, but Tom's is a huge difference. Tom, what's your screen time for today?
4:12.
4:12. Good day. Zachary?
4:19.
4:19. 5:07 for me.
2:11.
Mine might be a little higher today.
Ian just speaks to hear himself.
You're such a nerd. You're such a nerd, Ian. You're 3 hours Listen. Behind us too, so save it.
I had a really good talk with Anthony on the drive home from my Bruce Bolt photo shoot today. I had to tell him I had to get off to get on the podcast. But I asked him, I said, you want to come on the podcast? You want to come on the podcast? I don't know if he wants to come on the podcast.
Why not? Why wouldn't he?
He's not like some of our other recurring guests. He takes a little push to get back on.
Yeah, he does. I was talking to him about the Yanks. The Yanks lineup pretty deep. Not a lot of people talking about the Yanks. I mean, people have been talking about the team. No one's talking about the Yanks.
Who isn't talking about the Yankees? LeMahieu, Rizzo, Judge, Soto, Verdugo,
Labor.
Their catcher, Tom, Line,
Trevino,
Labor. Left fielder, or Colby. Who's playing center? Probably Judge. Who's in right? Oh, Stanton, DH, or just due for a big year. Who's starting at short?
Volpe.
They're gonna have Volpe. Pretty good. Gonna have Volpe hitting in the nine hole.
Yeah. Who's the three bagger? I don't know who their third baseman is.
LeMahieu, if he needs to.
Well, yeah.
It'll probably be LeMahieu at third, Volpe at short, Glaber at second, Anthony at first, and then Verdugo, Judge, and Soto in the outfield with Stanton DHing and Grisham as a defensive. Oh,
I forgot they got Grisham too.
And they also have, I don't know if you said Oswald Peraza will probably be a backup. Yeah, shortstop, third base kind of guy.
Yeah. Deep. I like it. I like it, Tom. And if they go get Snell or Montgomery, it could be pretty good.
Tom's got that little smile on his. He's got a little smile. Tom's got a little one of these going.
Tom kind of likes it. He kind of likes it.
Disappointment from last year. He's turning the page. He's getting on the.
But
page.
They're going to start 5-5, and Tom's going to say, burn it all down. Same old Cashman.
That's me. I'm always just ready to burn it at the stake. I mean, if you listen to this episode, you probably think I'm insane. So
you are with the Yankees. You are ready. You are the Yankees fans. You're the classic Yankees fan. What? Nothing except the championship is good enough, which is fair. That's the legacy they've built.
Next topic.
That's episode 196 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Grocers. Go to connectgrocers.com, code COMPOUND15 for 15% off site-wide. Check it out. Get yourself some coffee. Connectgrocers.com. We will see you next week.
Hey everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.